Welcome to the Woadsman Podcast, a show discussing all things camping, bushcraft, and outdoor adventure.
Hello guys, and welcome to another episode of the Woadsman Podcast. It has been a little while, and myself and Tom have been extremely busy. But Tom's going to explain all of that in a little minute when we go to his clip, because actually Tom's down in the south of England, I'm here in my local woodland, and we haven't been able to meet up as of yet. But Tom's recorded a little excursion trip kind of recording when he was out with a really good friend of his. So we'll go to him first, and then I'll join you on the return.
The Woadsman Podcast is proud to bring you a unique opportunity from the State Detective, whose mission is to source and offer their followers some of the best beef products on the market. Use the code WOADSMAN20 to receive 10% off of your order, and also award 10% to help support The Bearded Fisherman, a UK-based charity helping those suffering with mental health issues. Check out The State Detective. It's terribly British.
So hey guys, Tom here with the Woadsman Podcast, and I'm out here in the woods. I've got my good mate Heaney here. He's been a good friend of mine for a long time, and we've done a lot of camps together, but we haven't seen each other for about 2 years. So we met up in the woods today. We've got a rip roar of a fire going in front of us. We got steaks in our bellies, and we just thought we'd have a 5 minute catch up with you guys and see how you all are. So it's been a little while since our last Woadsman episode. I'm sure Liam's already mentioned this, but both me and Liam have had a lot going on in our own lives, both been really busy with work, and it's not an excuse, it's just the reality. We both work full time, and it's just a lot to then fit in trips and courses and recording episodes for both the YouTube and the podcast. So I hope you've all been well. It's really nice to manage to pop on the record button and just sit and chat to you guys for a little while. But yeah, let me introduce you to Heaney and we'll tell you what we've been doing for the day. So what have we done today, Heaney?
Well, after a nice little drive and stop off to get up some supplies, that's where we, what have we got in the bag there? We've got some rocky roads, we've got some pumpkin.
We've literally got so much food.
Yeah, so this is a good old catch up over food and some drinks. But we made a raised bed today, which I'm getting the pleasure of testing out this evening.
Yeah, so you're test driving the new raised bed, aren't you?
Yeah.
So we sort of identified a bit of a problem because the woodland's on a bit of a slope here. So we're in my woods here, and the whole woodland from the entrance is on a slope, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite a...
pronounced. So it all slopes down basically into a seasonal stream, which then leads to a proper stream that runs all year, and we get the runoff from the farmer's field as well. So basically when we have periods of incredibly wet weather, all the rain runs downhill, and there's no flat spots to get away from it really. You're gonna have water traveling downhill through your camp anywhere you camp here. It's just the way of the land, the lie of the land. And to make matters worse, the soil is clay, so the water reaches sort of saturation point and just sits on top of the clay. So I had a hilarious camp with the State Detective. I'm sure we'll catch up with him at some point soon, where the water was just sitting on top of the clay, and I was effectively in a puddle the whole night, but the entire woods had become a bog. And luckily for Steve, he had a raised bed, one of the old military ones that you just fold out, which was quite lucky for him. So he managed to stay dry, but I was flipping soaked.
Well, hopefully none of that today.
Yeah, so we won't have that now. So what me and Heaney sort of did, we had a bit of a brainstorm when we got here, because it's still a bit wet underfoot, like you can still squelch it. And we decided just to build a raised bed. Heaney's got that. It's got two nice big logs. We've laid another long piece. That was your idea, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah, across all the cross members, and then pinned it in at the back as well, and then you've roped it all together.
Yeah, so we've just tied it all together. So it's a really solid bed. It's giving us a good foot or so off the ground. And it just means if we have incredible wet weather like we did the last time I camped here. I mean, it was biblical. I think Hastings, which isn't too far from here, actually like had flood damage from it. So it was a proper weather warning sort of rainstorm, so not normal rain. But if that happens again, at least now we have an option that's up off the ground. And I got to test out a new tool, didn't I, Heen?
You did indeed, yeah. And I had a little go of it as well.
Quite a beast, isn't it?
Yeah. What's her name?
It's a Steel MS251 CBE. So I'm sure some of you guys know a lot more about chainsaws than me or Heaney. I mean, Heen, you're way better at power tools than me. Oh,
I still got my fingers.
You still got your fingers. So yeah, I decided with all the trees in this woods, I need to have a power tool to deal with management and looking after the woods here. It just would take too long with a backhoe, you know, struggling. I've got hundreds and hundreds of trees here and quite a few downed ones that need sorting out. So I just decided on Black Friday I'd invest in a chainsaw. So I did my research. I talked to a few arborists and really, really researched like the old Husqvarna versus Steel. And it seems like both are good for different users, and there's sort of not much between the two of them. Everyone's sort of got an opinion. So yeah, I went with Steel because I've always kind of wanted a Steel. I've heard they're very reliable, and so I went with the MS251. I think it's the 251, but it's a domestic chainsaw, but it's sort of their semi-pro model, so it's got a few of the features of the more professional sort of saws. I got a good price on it, and it came with quite a few like optional extras. So yeah, I'm well happy. But yeah, we sort of put that to use for the first time, didn't we, today?
Yeah, but I think you need to think of a better name.
Well, actually, funny you say that. Yeah, it's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it, MS251?
Yeah, so it doesn't flow.
Emma came up with a better name for it, because Steel's obviously a German company, so she nicknamed it Hans. And I was like, what do you mean, like Hans Gruber from Die Hard? She was like, no, Hans, as in if you don't use it properly, you will have no Hans. So I was like, fair enough. So the name stuck. So we now call my chainsaw Hans, because it's German and, yeah, could take your hand off pretty easily. So, yeah, I was really impressed with it, though. It's a powerful bit of kit.
Yeah, just hot knife through butter. It cut through anything with ease.
So I chucked a 16-inch bar on it the other night. So I'm starting off with 16 inches. I think it's more than enough. I know they say size doesn't matter, but I don't think we're going to be dealing with anything much, much larger than that. And it is powerful enough to handle an 18-inch bar if need be. But I've started with 16. It's got, I think, 46 cc's, three brake horsepower. So, yeah, it's quite a bit of kit. It's certainly a lot quicker than using a bow saw for really big bits and doing woodland management and taking down danger trees and things like that. So obviously it doesn't replace the hand saws for me. They are the bushcraft saw. It's certainly not bushcraft lugging in a big chainsaw that needs petrol and oil and stuff into the woods, but it does make managing the woodland a lot more feasible. And for today, once we've made the raised bed, we just cut up a load of firewood, didn't we? And it made such light work of it.
Just enjoy the rest of the day.
What do we have for dinner then?
Well, I had sirloin steak. Oh, times two.
Times two. Yeah.
And yourself?
I had two ribeyes. Yeah, two ribeye steaks. Because by then, neither of us had eaten today, so we'd both worked up a bit of a hunger, and we've done a fair bit of chainsawing today. We've used our axes, we've been messing around, walking around the woodlands, and so we'd built up quite an appetite, so one steak wasn't going to cut it. So we had steak, mange tout, broccoli, and yeah, we've got a lovely, warm, rip-roar of a fire going. And I think we'll indulge in some mulled wine and a cheese board in a little bit.
We'll indulge in the mulled cider.
Yeah, that was good, actually. Yeah. So we had mulled cider, which was really warming because it's -2 currently, and it's due to get a bit colder tonight, I think. But yeah, it's currently -2. Just checked the temperature before I hit record. And we both got our big wool jackets on. You've got a nice Fjallraven sort of poncho over the top of yours.
Yep.
And yeah, we're both toasty, so we've got the nice fire to watch, and we're just going to settle in for the night and enjoy telling campfire stories, I think. But
catch up.
Yeah. So we've got... It has been too long, mate. And it's really nice to catch up in this setting as well, because it's obviously where we both feel quite at home. So we've got a cheese board to enjoy. We're going to get the mulled cider over the fire. I just thought, while I was here with my mate, I'd just catch up with you guys. I know Liam was planning on catching up with you anyway, so hopefully he can just slot this in, and it's my little hi to you guys. I hope you're all well, I hope you're staying safe, and I'll see you in a proper episode where I go camping with Liam soon. Until then, I'll see you in the next one.
Ciao.
Bye.
So what a lovely little message there from Tom and Heaney, and it sounded like they had an absolutely wonderful time. And definitely that chainsaw sounded like it made light work of the firewood. And it's so good to hear that Tom's progressing with his woodland management. And I can't wait to go back down that area and catch up and see the progress. Help do a little bit of drainage work to sort out that wet ground. And just, like I said, see how it's progressing. And it's really nice to know that, Tom, you got to see Heaney after such a long time. It's always lovely to catch up with friends that you haven't seen for a while. And in fact, just last week, I managed to catch up with the bearded adventurer, Jordan. He's a really good friend who I met at the community camp, and I know Tom has met him also at the Bushcraft show. And he came down to my local woods, and we spent a lovely bit of time together, which I filmed in an episode, and I showed him how to do the traditional flint and steel fire, which was absolutely lovely, especially in this kind of cold and damp conditions that we've been having over here in the UK lately. And a lot of things have changed since the last time we were on the podcast. I think the last time it was really, really warm. So now the weather has completely changed. It has been, for the last week, like someone dusted the whole place with icing sugar. And now it's back to rain, so we're gone from -3 to -7, even -12 in some places, and now we're at +7, so a big fluctuation in temperature, and that can cause havoc with people's health. I know I've had a chest infection, Tom's been ill, a lot of people around me have actually been picking up different bugs, and due to that chest infection that I had, I actually ended up getting a thing called costochondritis, which I'd never heard of before, but it's essentially the inflammation of cartilage around the rib cage and breastplate. So that's been really holding me back from going out loads, but as that starts to diminish, so my health kind of gets better. It felt like I'd broken a rib, and now I'm able to get back out, which is really great. But as you can hear, the rain has come in, so I'm just taking shelter at the moment. And while I did that, I thought it's a great opportunity to kind of catch up with you guys and obviously just sit down and have a little chat. And what I've been actually putting together over the last few days is just a few little articles that I thought I'd sit down and have a chat with you guys about. That might explain a few of the things going on at this time of year, and it's something that I thought would be nice to start including in the podcast. So if you really enjoy this, drop us a message. I'll put a little thing on Spotify where you can poll if you enjoyed this, and if so, then we'll probably make this a more regular thing, and we'll have like a bushcraft news, what's going on in the weather, what's the causes, what fungi are out this month. So really, to kick off, I've got an article here from the Times newspaper. It's quite a popular one over here in the UK, and they have a section in there called Weather Eye, and it always comes up with some incredible bits. So I'll read this article and then we'll have a little chat about it, because there's some really interesting stuff in here. So over here in the UK, as Saturday dawned, you might have been forgiven for thinking that someone had used a giant spray can to drape the world in ghostly white cobwebs, covering trees and plants and even hanging off traffic lights. It was far too late for Halloween, so who was it or what was to blame for all of those spooky webs? This was in fact the work of freezing fog that had descended during a bitterly cold night and conjured up a winter wonderland covered in rime, a special sort of frost. So we've already learnt one thing: rime, R-I-M-E, is actually a name for a different kind of frost. Let's go on further. As Robert Louis Stevenson described in his poem Wintertime, and treehouse and hill lake are frosted like wedding cake. Rime is created by water droplets in freezing fog. These have the curious knack of remaining liquid well below freezing and even down to minus 40 centigrade. This is called supercooling, but as soon as the supercooled fog droplet touches a freezing cold object, it turns to rime frost. So the temperatures overnight on Friday were incredibly cold, minus 12 degrees in the Highlands. And the widespread sub-zero temperatures elsewhere caused the fog droplets to freeze so rapidly that they trap the tiny air bubbles that lend rime an opaque white appearance. So, just to stop there for a second, because that's quite a lot to take in. So essentially the fog contains water droplets that are so cold, but they haven't actually frozen until they touch the thing like the spider's web. And that's then when they freeze and create these semi-opaque white kind of droplets. So it goes on then to explain how the word rime has been used in various novels and rhymes from Charles Dickens, etc. But something that we can kind of compare this to is if you're looking for an example of supercooled water that hasn't frozen, because some of you may be thinking, well, water freezes at 0 degrees, therefore if it's lower than that, it would be ice. Well, actually, as a matter of fact, in my fridge at the moment, if I put water on the top shelf and it's slightly touching the back of the fridge, I'll take a bottle of water out and it'll be liquid. But as soon as I agitate that water, the whole thing freezes. And that's very much the case of what's going on here. So next time you're out and you're going through the woodland and you see all that sparkle of frost all over the webs and hanging off the trees, you can remember that its name is Rime, R-I-M-E. And I thought that was just a really beautiful kind of little story and little fact to go through. And in fact, another thing that I picked up, and it reminded me of something that I've always forgotten to mention in one of my videos, so it's something that I will do, and it's a shame because I actually included this fungi, and this is what we're going to be talking about next, is a fungi that's out this time of year, and it probably will be diminishing now as these frosts come in, but it's the amethyst deceiver, and it's a really gorgeous small mushroom that's a very deep purple, deep violet, and it almost looks kind of like a satin kind of feel. It's really, really nice looking, and it really pops out through the autumn leaf litter. But you'd think with such a identifiable mushroom that it would be safe. It's an edible mushroom, so very commonly known as an edible mushroom. But it's really the danger that comes from its similarity when it fades away to the lilac fibre cap, which can be deadly if consumed. So, an amethyst deceiver at this time of year, it can pop up, and like I showed in my video, the colour can actually start to bleach from that, from the rain. So, it's one of those things that, unless you're 100% certain, you shouldn't be picking fungi. But also, don't rely on smartphones to give you a full identification, because you could very well have an amethyst deceiver that started to fade colour and is fine to eat. But you could also have this lilac fibre cap, which is something you would not want to be putting in your body. So again, a really good article there, and just something that's relevant to this time of year and something worth keeping your eyes peeled for. Again, a really lovely mushroom to go out and identify, a lovely fungi, as is the lilac fibre cap, but always things to be very, very careful of. And actually talking about things to be careful of, again, this time of year, it's really important to make sure you're keeping warm, you're keeping dry, and you're just keeping safe. Everything can be really slippy at this time of year, and it's easy to get damp, and that can lead to hypothermia when out on trips. And I know we've talked about cold weather camping in the past, but it's important to remember just to stay safe, so that little message goes out. And actually, floods and rains are nothing really new for this time of year. 930 years ago, in fact, in England, the English were helped by the overwhelming wet period of this time of year to defeat the Scots invasion of Northumbria. So there was about 3,000 Scottish who fled a battle, and the English actually managed to pin them down and, unfortunately, you know, massacre them. And that was due to the rising river levels. So they were surging. So this time of year has been notorious for its wet period in England. And again, it's really important when you're going out on trips that you're aware of what the water's doing. And like Tom said, He's gained experience of how his lay of the land is in his woodland, so he's making amendments. Like you heard, they'd made a raised bed in that area, so that's really going to help protect him from that wet ground. I know myself and him have talked about installing a small bit of drainage kind of channels in there, very similar like they do in the Netherlands or in the Fenlands, just on a much smaller scale. But the weather this time of year, obviously, once you get wet, you're very, very cold. So it's all mitigation of that. So it's a case of bringing out layers, making sure that if you are even going out for a day trip, just bring a lightweight tarp, something to give yourself a roof, give yourself a little bit of cover. And then you can go even a step further than that. If you're really suffering from the cold, or if you've got something like myself, you've got costochondritis, but you still want to go out and explore, layer up. Layers are your best friend. And you can even get things like heated layers. And I just want to make a small little shout out to a company called Ororo, O-R-O-R-O, and they make heated apparel. They very kindly sent me one last year, and it's been keeping me insanely toasty while I've had this costochondritis, making sure that my core is kept warm. And I don't want to kind of push it too much, but definitely go out, check their brand out, check all the other ones. And there's something that when you're going out on a day trip and it's bitterly cold, you can go out and enjoy yourself for that bit longer, especially if you're not able to sit down and have a campfire like all of us bushcrafters do like to have. But I just wanted to leave it on a little kind of safety note. I hope you all have the best lead up to Christmas, and I'm sure myself and Tom will catch up imminently, so there'll be some more episodes following soon. And this just wanted to act as a little filler piece to keep you guys entertained, give you a little bit of information about this period of year, let you know what we've been up to, and just catch in, because we're ever so grateful of you guys listening, and it means the world that you stick around and kind of wait for us to get some episodes out when it becomes a little bit more sporadic due to the kind of busyness of modern life. So until next time, guys, thanks for listening and stay safe.